This is an ABC podcast.
Roots and Shoots with Joe and Sabrina. On Afternoons, 102.5 ABC Perth and ABC Radio WA.
Sabrina Hahn.
World Oyster Day tomorrow.
Are you a fan?
Oh my God, I would love to be the oyster sucker for the oyster shucker.
I can arrange this. I know a certain Jerry Fraser. Maybe we can team the two of you up.
I love oysters. My dad and I used to go oystering off the rocks in northern New South Wales on the coast because they were just everywhere then.
Yeah.
And we just took a screwdriver and a hammer and we would gorge. And thankfully, no one else in the family likes oysters.
You didn't even have to share.
Nah, it was great. But whenever I see oysters anywhere, I just say, oh, I'll have those. I don't care what it costs. Have you seen the Irish oysters, though? They're enormous.
They are very large. And what are the oysters, someone will be able to tell us, down off the Albany coast?
They're a hybrid oyster.
Yeah.
Oyster?
No, I can't remember what they're called.
Because what they did was they found that there was a virus that attacked the northern oyster, or was it the southern one? Anyway, they ended up hybridising the oyster that grows up near Broome and the one further south, and they've come up with this beautiful Albany oyster.
Oh, are you au naturel always?
Natural, like it, suck it straight out of the ocean.
Yeah, that saltiness.
Yeah.
It is.
I don't like them cooked.
Oh, no, I don't like them cooked either. I don't mind a vinaigrette.
Oh, vinaigrette's quite nice.
But definitely not cooked. Yeah. Anyway, we digress. We digress. Because
we are here
to do an important job, which is talk gardening. And
you're not going to grow oysters in your garden unless you have a marine garden.
Otherwise known as the ocean.
Yes.
Charmin has been very patiently standing by to ask you a question about fruit trees. Good afternoon, Charmin.
How are you this afternoon?
Very well, Charmin.
Sabrina, sorry, I wanted to ask you this a few weeks ago, but we got sidetracked by sawtooth coriander.
Oh.
Darling, I've been on I've been on my little farmlet for 2 and a bit years now, and when I first moved in, I planted fruit trees with a prospect of being more self-sufficient.
Yeah.
And some are doing okay. The others that are struggling, like as in barely growing, I'm wanting to know from you the fact that they've been rooted in the ground. I did, when I put them in, dig a hole like 3 times the size of the pot, put mulch and potting mix and garden soil to give them a chance.
Yeah.
Is there something I can do during winter leading into spring to try and help them progress?
You could do some soil drenching. So you can get some drenches that have humic and fulvic acid, enzymes and microbes in them, and that really boosts the ability of the root system to uptake nutrients. And then I would put fertilizer down, granular fertilizer, in about 3 weeks, and that will really kickstart them into growth during
spring. And that's pretty much all Charmin needs to do,
yeah, because she's done everything else. She's done all the right stuff. She's on the money.
You're on the money, Charmin. Good luck with that. Good luck with that. Now, Sabby, it was the Akoya oyster that I was trying to call the name of. Sarah, thank you very much for that.
Yeah.
And Chris the Truckie, good afternoon, Sabrina and Joe. You can grow land oysters in your garden, also known as escargot.
Thank you, Chris. I think I know which one I would prefer to eat, the marine oyster or the land oyster.
Oh, my goodness. We've started something with the dad jokes. Pete, I'm not going to go there. That is just atrocious but rather funny all at the same time. Let's head to Como. Good afternoon, Barbara.
Good afternoon, Sabrina and Joe. I'm a first-time caller, so if my voice becomes a little shaky, you'll understand why.
We welcome all our first-time callers warmly, Barbara.
look, we have a limestone wall which faces east-west, and it's about 30 metres long.
Yep.
There's a little bit of a planter box at the bottom of the wall, mm-hmm. Which is about 400 millimetres high.
Yep.
Now, I have tried growing herbs mainly, and they just don't work. And I'm just wondering if you have some suggestions.
Well, I certainly know that oregano and thyme will grow in limestone, but they need full sun. Actually, oregano will grow in the shade. Thyme needs full sun.
Right.
Those herbs you would be able to grow, and also dill and fennel you would be able to grow.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So there's zero winter sun, but it's hot in summer.
Yep, that's okay because, well, the time, forget the time then because it'll need sunlight through the winter. But
yep.
Oregano, fennel, thyme, you could even put in the, you know, the English spinach will grow in shady areas.
Ah, okay. So there's a Boston ivy that grows up the wall.
Right.
Would that interfere with the root system of the herbs?
Probably not, Barbara. I can't
okay.
see that being a big problem.
Okay. Mm. All right. And what about something flowering?
Ah,
any suggestions?
Yeah, there's lots of stuff that loves limestone. So Templetonia, the sawtooth acacia.
Right.
There's a beautiful, there's a Coria alba that will grow in limestone soil.
Yeah.
And also Gutchinochia.
Oh.
Gutchinochia?
Okay. Yeah, I know. It's weird, isn't it? It's a weird name. Has beautiful little purple flowers.
Oh, lovely.
On it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
So they will do well.
Lovely. Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you so much, Barbara, and good luck.
Good luck, Barbara. And thank you for calling. First time caller, Barbara, there. 1300 221 0025 is the number you need. Much better to give us a call. We're not too terrifying, I don't think.
Oh, I think we're quite mild.
Very mild.
Yeah.
Mild. Mild, mild.
And Herb knows. Herb from Byford, who has a beautiful garden and makes exquisite breakfasts. And I think one day Amber and I will come and do the show live from
your... That's a great idea.
He makes the most amazing breakfasts, all hand-picked from the garden, don't you, Herb?
Yes, the monument to chaos.
Oh, that's great.
What can we do for you on this fine Tuesday?
Well, I've just sent off a picture of a Meyer lemon tree without my name attached with lemon canker on the stem of the tree.
Yeah.
Well, a stem canker. And it's sort of, gone around about a third of the trunk of the lemon tree I was thinking, well, if I scrape it and paint it with a mixture of copper and paint.
Yep.
There are instructions for that sort of thing. Would that be sufficient?
Well, let's hope.
Water-based paint.
Let's hope, Herb. Definitely you'll need to get the copper in there. We can't find your picture, but yes, you'll need to scrape away as much of the bark as you can.
Yeah, so with something like a knife that I would have cleaned with a bit of methylated spirit.
Yeah,
first.
Yep, absolutely. And if you've got a little sabby stabby, even better, the recip saw.
Oh, okay.
Savvy Stabby's a far better name for it.
Yeah, right. Oh, well, I mean, it's on the main trunk. If I do too much,
you'll actually sever the whole plant in two. So,
yeah. So between where the bark is still intact on the main stem, I'd go in there with a boning knife.
Yes.
And
peel that off, and then. You can either do a paint with the copper, or you can even do copper's going to be your best bet, I reckon.
Yep.
Copper or a lime sulfur paste.
Oh, okay. The paste option. So yes. I think I might try it one time. Well, I've got both.
Yep.
And this is the wettable sulfur to make a paste.
Yes, that's right. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. And so one time I might try it with the copper and the next time with sulfur.
Yeah, yeah. Great idea.
Good on you, Herb. Now, Liana is in Duncraig, and I think there's something going on with her mallee, and she has very kindly sent through some photos. Hello, Liana.
Hello, thanks for taking my call.
I love the Websteriana uke. I think it's beautiful. When I lived in Kalgoorlie, I grew those.
Yeah, I love it, but it's not doing the right thing.
No, okay. So you have the tiny little leaf miner inside the leaf. Now, it's really hard to control, Liana, because they're actually inside and they skeletonize. They basically eat all the chlorophyll. So you can spray it with a pest oil.
Okay.
And it's safe to do it this time of the year because it's not hot.
Okay.
Or you can prune the worst affected leaves off.
Okay. And it seems like it's on a very big lean.
Yes, it sure is.
What should I do about that?
Now, the great thing about the Websteriana is it shoots from a lignotuber at the base. So if you cut it off at ground level, leave about 10 centimetres, it will multi-shoot from that base.
How old does it need to be? Like, it's only 2 years old.
2 years old. Only needs 2 years old.
Yep.
So, because the only other thing, it's on such a lean, I think if you heavily prune it and then try and pull it back, it's going to die. So I reckon you're better off cutting your losses, pardon the pun.
Hack, hack.
Yeah, so cut right down, leave about 10 centimetres and it will reshoot from the base.
And then you kind of, I mean, you've solved the other problem too, really.
Yeah, that's right. So you've got rid of all the leaf miner. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And why is it shooting? Like, the top leaves are kind of a classic eucalyptus shape and then the bottom leaves are the Webster shape?
Yeah, the juvenile leaves will always be different to the adult leaves.
Okay. So that's nothing wrong.
And that's a very common thing in eucalypts.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
See you, Liana. We've got a message from Nadia who is saying, how worried should she be about this plant that seems to be overtaking the beautiful coastal strip along Dalyellup Beach? She's not sure what it is.
It's Dodder, D-O-D-D-E-R.
And is that bad news?
I think Dodder is a now there's a native Dodder and a introduced Dodder. They will strangle and destroy everything underneath them. Dodder must be controlled or you're going to lose all the plant. As soon as they cover it, they just smother it.
And that's how bad it is in those photos.
Yeah, and it will kill everything underneath it. It has to be controlled. That Dodder, it's destroying everything. It needs to be cut right back.
So, Nadia, very worried is the answer. Very, very worried. Get a team together and maybe do a little busy bee and get rid of it all because, what a shame. What a shame. Good on you for tackling that. Good person.
It's a major problem in a lot of the national parks because they just don't have enough rangers to actually manage a lot of the national parks. And I see Dodder just taking over and smothering all of the native vegetation. It's a major problem.
Beth, I think you want to chat about sweet potatoes.
Yes. Hello, ladies.
Hello, Beth.
My issue is, now I've used the from the sweet potato comes out as a, it flowers sort of thing. It's sort of not flowers. It comes out and does leaves.
Yeah.
And I've had them in water. And when I spoke to you last, you said you lay them down, but it's got like the flower at the top. So why do you lay them down? And do you bury that little green bit at the top or do you?
Yeah. So basically you lay them down because when you lay the runner down, the root system comes all the way along that stem that you've laid down and covered with soil.
But not the green bit.
You leave the top green bit up out of the ground.
Right. And that's the only way you can propagate sweet potatoes.
Well, some people have luck with putting a piece of potato in the ground, like half of a potato. But quite often this time of the year, it actually rots in the ground.
Yep.
So you're better off starting it, getting it to grow, and then planting that that stem.
Great. Thanks very much.
Okay. Thank you so much, Beth.
We do just want to bring something to everyone's attention because, sadly, I have not benefited from this. The tree bait, which was announced, was it early this year, last year? I can't remember.
Last year.
Such a wonderful initiative.
Yeah. So this is the second year, the second cycle of tree bait. Now, yesterday they updated all the conditions under tree bait. So people need to know that. So the original tree bait, you were given $150 to spend on a mature native tree.
So I went along.
Yeah.
Bought a silver princess.
Yep.
Quite a small one.
Yep.
And I think it only cost maybe $60 or $70.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, well, this is just a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
Pop it in the garden, get the birds, it's a native, rah, rah, rah.
Yep.
This is important because now what you can do
is get five plants for your $150. Now, what people need to understand is you can only have one dip in the pot. So if you are going to go and buy five native plants that are at three meters plus high, it has to be under the one tree bait claim. So you can't get two 1 week and go and get another three the next week. So it all has to come under the one claim. So you can get two plants for $70 each, or you can get five plants for, my maths is really bad, whatever comes to.
Three fives of 15.
Thank
Does that
you.
Help?
That's an enormous. So now you've got the ability to buy five plants for your $150, but it must be made in the one claim.
If you want to have it explained to you in a way that might make more sense without our abysmal maths, just jump onto the internet. The interwebs, Department of Water and Environmental Regulation, tree bait. Just pop tree bait in. But essentially, they have expanded the scheme, updated the page today. You can now claim five trees to the value of $150. Before it was one tree. But as Sabrina is pointing out, it needs to be done all at once. Shall we get back to the phones?
Because
they've gone bananas. Marion in Madeley, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe and Sabrina.
Hello there.
Oh, I'm just sending in an idea. I've sent some photos of all my veggies and herbs that have got these netting over the top.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yep.
Because I just kept getting everything eaten all the time.
Yeah.
And it was just becoming very disappointing.
Yeah.
So you bought some insect netting and cut the circles and used that frame.
Yeah.
And I put a hem around the bottom of the circle.
Yeah.
And with elastic in it, and that just holds it on top of the pots.
Yes.
Which I've got my herbs and things. And then once they get to a certain point, it really works really well.
That is fantastic.
You're very clever, Marion.
That's awesome. And you know,
sowers and gardeners are of the same ilk.
They are.
Oh, and readers.
They are, and readers. Yes. And knitters. So, Marion, that's a really great tip to do, because sometimes even we forget about the life cycle of insects. So even if you spray, the next generation pop back up. So if you have the netting over the top, the insect netting over the top, you solve that problem right from the beginning.
Yeah, because I actually planted some seeds for some basil, and unfortunately I didn't put the netting on straight away, and that's really struggling now. But I'm so thrilled because I actually have grown thyme, and it had been decimated every time I tried to grow it. It's just great.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Marion. And hopefully that will inspire others to nip out, get some insect netting and do the same with theirs.
Absolutely. Ronnie's in Albany. G'day, Ronnie.
Hi, ladies. How are you going?
Good, thank you.
Couple of quick fire questions.
Yep.
The first one is, how long can I keep a bag of soil open before it goes bad?
If it hasn't been out in the sun and in a patch of weeds, you can keep it indefinitely and just revamp it a bit with a bit of compost and some slow-release fertiliser.
Wonderful, thank you. And the other one is, why do people put sticks in their bird baths?
Okay, because the little birds won't go into a bird bath unless they can see the depth of the water. And some birds have difficulty when their feathers are wet flying out of a wet bird bath, so they'll land on the twig first, the stick, then go in the bird bath, then land on the stick again, fluff themselves, their little feathers dry, and then fly off.
Wonderful. Thank you. I thought it was about bees.
No.
No worries.
No, not at all. The bees will still go in there.
Good on you, Ronnie. Thank you for that. Before we move on to Anthony, Sabrina, I do think it's worth just letting Tim know what's going on because it'll also help Tim's neighbours.
Yeah.
Tim sent through a photo of his grapefruit and a little bee. And he says, Sab and Joe, please ID this little bee and tell me if it's related to the swelling on the grapefruit trees, please. It's gall wasp, isn't it, Sammy?
It is gall wasp.
What does Tim need to do?
So, Tim, that needs to be cut off now, and there's no exit holes. So the gall wasp is still in there. So you need to cut it off. You can freeze it, burn it, put it in a microwave for 3 minutes, and then put it in the green waste bin. The little bee that you have is actually one of the hoverflies. And a lot of the hoverflies, come spring, you'll see they'll come into your gardens. They're very important pollinators, and they're the cutest little things, and they're the goodies, the good guys.
But we do not want the gall wasps.
No.
And sadly, you know, if your neighbours have got citrus, then if you don't get rid of it, Tim, they're going to be everywhere. So good on you for noticing it and take action, please. Let's head to Bunbury. Good afternoon, Anthony.
Oh, good afternoon, Joe and Sabrina. Thank you very much for letting me ask a question on your wonderful program.
Oh, it is our pleasure.
Thank you very much. I love growing Corymbia ficifolias. I'm just fascinated by the different colours and I think they're so spectacular. I grow them down in Albany and the new little shoots have been dying off and turning black as though someone's blowtorched them. And then just behind the shoots on the little stems, they get a coating that looks like icing sugar. And I haven't seen insects. I go out and look for insects. Basically, there's no insects on them. So I'm wondering about a fungal attack. And I just wondered what you thought about the problem.
Okay, so the thing that looks like icing sugar may actually be a juvenile form of a soft-bodied scale, Anthony. I want you to rub your fingers along it and see if it comes off and if there's any staining on your finger. If there's staining on your fingers, whether it's red or orange, yellow, it's a juvenile form of soft-bodied scale. It's unusual for them. Usually when eucalypts get a fungus, it's more you see spotting on the leaves. So, I don't think it is a fungus personally. Anthony, what I want you to do is take a close-up shot of the icing sugar.
Oh, you've got homework, Anthony.
Yeah.
You've got homework.
Download the My Pest Guide Reporter app. Take a photo of the icing sugar. And a photo of the where it's dying, where that stem's dying off, send it to them and you've got to say where you took the photo and on the Corymbia ficifolia. So they will get back to you and tell you whether it is a fungus or if it's actually an insect. I think it's an insect.
Okay, well, thank you very, very much. Look, I probably did a silly thing and AI'd it and spent an hour re-quizzing AI.
Yeah.
And they thought it was a fungus, Pitarica, yeah, that comes from the eastern states. But
yeah, but the, a lot of those things we don't...
It sounded so dramatic that...
Yeah. And this is the thing with AI, Anthony, you know, yeah, if the data isn't rigorous, if it's, yeah, not good data, yeah, then you get bad info, so...
Yeah, and unfortunately, there's very little information on West Australian species, let alone pests and diseases that we have here. So your best bet is my pest guide reporter.
Good luck, Anthony. Let's have a chat to Anne, who's in Dunsborough, and I think wants your advice when it comes to pruning. Mm. Hi, Anne.
Hello, Anne.
Hello, Joe and Sabrina. Pruning, my Beautilon. I have a large one with a double pink flower.
Oh, my God, I love that, a Beautilon.
And he is still flowering.
Yep.
And then just the small ones that you sort of get regularly at the nursery.
Yep.
When should I do them?
Okay. Now, abutilons, I can tell you from very sad experience, you can't prune them hard.
No, I realise.
No, stabby, sticky.
No, stabby for that one. Now, you can start pruning them from now.
Right.
But just light prune. So your little ones, you're really just going to tip prune. Yes. Once they're larger, you cannot take more than a third off, but you can start doing it now.
Even though it's flowering?
Even though it's flowering, yep.
Okay, thank you. And also begonias, the ones with the big canes.
Oh, you got all my favourite plants, Anne.
I've got a bit of everything, trust me.
Okay, so you need to wait for them for a little bit, another few weeks before you prune those back. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And one more quick one. My daughter's got an elderly bottle brush on her boundary.
Yeah.
Is it too late to sort of give that a really good prune?
No, not too late. No. No.
I can go for it?
Yep, absolutely.
Oh, Anne, I reckon you could keep asking questions. Sabby's eyes just lit up when you were mentioning the plants in your gardens.
Thank you very much indeed. Appreciate it.
See you, Anne. It is, we can squeeze in one more call. Mandy's in Shoalwater and has sent through some photos of her not very happy natives. There's another photo there.
Yep.
Hi, Mandy.
So Maggie, I am looking at your grevillea and your leucodendron, or is it a...
Yes. My third one I've lost.
Yeah. So the problem there is alkaline soil, okay?
I'm wasting my money planting them.
Yep. Basically. I mean, you can put sulfur on, you can put aluminium sulfate... but essentially the root system's going to get through to your very alkaline soil.
Well, I guess it's worth it living that close to the beach, but if I could transfer some nice Melbourne soil or something, that might help them.
Yeah, but absolutely. Well, you can grow things like Templetonia, the sawtooth wattle, which is a beautiful acacia.
We've got wedding bush. Loving it and all that.
Yeah, wedding bush. You've got the beautiful eucalyptus prisciana. It's a beautiful little tree. You've got cruziana. It's a shrub. Eucalyptus cruziana. Yeah.
Wish you were my neighbour.
I think everybody does, Mandy. I think everybody does. But happy planting. I mean, there you go. Mandy's got some options.
Yeah.
Now, I have got a message from Helen that I think we're going to address next week because it is about gall wasps.
Yes.
She's done the right thing. She's taken them all off.
Yep.
And, you know, there's still some coming back. Is there anything you can spray on the tree to deter reinfestation? But
not to this date, but I've got an appointment, a phone call with DPIRD to see if there is any joy with the clay-based product that CSIRO were working on.
So watch this space, Helen. Yep. Watch this space. Thank you very much, Sabrina.
It is my absolute pleasure, Joe.
Thanks for listening. You can join us live on Tuesday from 2:30 or on Saturdays from 9 o'clock. You can listen on your radio to 102.5 ABC Perth, 102.5 FM or on the ABC Listen app. You can text your questions in on 0437 22 1025 or talk to Sabrina and I in the studio by calling us 1300 22 1025. Roots and Shoots will be back on the weekend to answer more of your gardening questions.
Head to abc.net.au/perth.
Don't forget to give us a 5-star rating.
And share the episode with all your friends.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.